world, God told us his plan. He hinted to it. He journeyed through and he continued to remind us from the beginning. He reminded us through Noah, this ark of salvation that Noah had, that those who were not condemned would be able to enter the ark, make a decision. Through guys like Melchizedek, remember? The priest of the Lord forever. It was foretold of his coming. And through Abraham, an offspring that would bless the whole world. Now, first week we looked at this idea of God's judgment upon the world, but at the same time of the judgment, the loving kindness would come through. And last week we looked at the Passover, how God foretold his coming through the Passover lamb, the lamb that was slain and the blood poured upon the lintel post. The amazing imagery of what Jesus would do, the salvation that he would come and that would come through the Messiah, that those who believed and declared that Jesus was their Lord, that God was their Lord, that they would be saved. So today we journey through, this is kind of our last foretelling, but Christmas Day we'll look at the fulfillment of these. And we're foretelling that God is coming through the line of David, through the line of the kings. I want to draw you to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1. And we're going to look at that if you've got your Bibles there. It says, when King David was settled in his palace, the Lord had given him rest from all the surrounding enemies. The king summoned Nathan the prophet. Look, David said, I am living in a beautiful cedar palace, but the ark of God is out there in a tent. Nathan replied to the king, go ahead and do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you. But that same night, the Lord said to Nathan, go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord has declared. Are you the one to build a house for me to live in? I have never lived in a house from the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt until this very day. I have always moved from one place to another with a tent and a tabernacle as my dwelling. Yet no matter where I have gone with the Israelites, I have never once complained to Israel's tribal leaders, the shepherds of my people Israel. I have never asked them, why haven't you built me a beautiful cedar house? Now go and say to my servant David, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. I took you from tending sheep in my pasture, and I selected you to be a leader of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have destroyed all the enemies before your eyes. Now, I will make your name famous as anyone who has ever lived on the earth, and I will provide a homeland for my people Israel, planting them in a secure place where they will never be disturbed. Evil nations won't oppress them as they have done in the past. Starting from the time I appointed the judges to rule my people and Israel, and I will give you rest from your enemies. Furthermore, the Lord declares that he will make a house for you, a dynasty of kings. For when you die and are buried with your ancestors, I will raise up one of your descendants, your own offspring, and I will make his kingdom strong. He is the one who will build a house, a temple for my name, and I will secure his royal throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. If he sins, I will correct and discipline him with a rod like any father would do. But my favor will not be taken from him as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from your sight. Your house and your kingdom will continue before me for all time, and your throne will be secure forever. So Nathan went back to David and told him everything that the Lord had said in that vision. You see, this is an amazing vision that that Nathan received. Nathan, who is the prophet to David, the one in which David would go to. And in this, there is a great promise for us, a promise that there is one who would come and save us, that is our Messiah. You see, this continued through the descendants. We spoke about Abraham before, that there was the promise that Messiah would come through the line of Abraham. And that was continued again as a descendant of Isaac. that there would be a Messiah, someone to save would come through his descendants. The same was given to Jacob as well. You see it continuing down. And then the same promise was given to the tribe of Judah, that a descendant from the tribe of Judah would come. Now David finds himself as a descendant of the tribe of Judah, but he is not the Messiah. Someone will come from them. So where are they at the moment in time? So the Israelites are in the nation of Israel. It seems like they've got prosperity, that they've got good favor. We see through the vision and the promise that God has protected them for a little while. We find ourselves about 1,000 years before the birth of the Messiah. We were 1,500 years last week at the Passover. We've skipped 500 years in a week. The nation of Israel is going well, and God has just built King David a palace to live in, a beautiful cedar palace, one that is amazing. And you can expect in a palace like that there would be some impressive throne. Let's see what we got here. You would expect an impressive throne for David to live on. One full of purple and royal and gold, maybe swords like this one. And you'd expect David to sit on this throne and be majestic. Not sure if it's the most comfortable throne, but we'll go from there. It's one that's definitely protected, I guess. Yeah, you can expect David to sit on this amazing throne and all the other nations around him. But there was something about Israel's king was different. You know, Israel wanted a king. They wanted someone that would rule them. But it was a little bit different. The throne in which, and the authority from the throne was different. You see, Israel's kingdom was different than all the other nations. The other nations around them, the king almost served like a godlike figure, that the person that would sit on that throne was the Lord. But that wasn't in Israel. You see, Israel's king served under God. They sat under the authority of God. The instruction and everything in which the king did came under God. They did not do anything unless they heard the authority or heard the wisdom and the words of God. We see this here in this interaction between the prophet. You see, the prophet's role was to listen to God and to hear and deliver it. Now, David, the king, had his own very prophet, which was Nathan, who would hear and listen to God. And so when David wanted to do something, he didn't simply go out and do it in his own authority. He went to the prophet. He went to hear what God. And we see that initially, Nathan said, "That sounds good. Go for it and do it." But God intervened. God said, "No, there's something else going in here." So we see that the king's role in Israel, unlike other kings, was to listen to God and to do what was ordered by God. So what did God say? What are the words that Nathan the prophet delivered? That's where we find ourselves in the story. You see, David intended to build a palace for God. David's there sitting on his majestic throne, maybe reading the words of God or doing something. And he sees in a distance the tabernacle, the tent, the place in which God's Spirit dwelt. It's not as beautiful as his palace. It's not as majestic as his palace. And he wants to build the temple. David wanted to build the temple for him. But God said, no. So God is a different God. God is different. All the other nations around, I'm sure, would have had temples, majestic temples to their various gods and temples to the king. But God spoke something different. God did intend it to have a temple at some stage, but that wasn't David's role. There was something important there. And God spoke to him and said something different. You see, as God spoke these words, he reminded David something. He says, I was the one who brought you out of Egypt. I was the one who took you from the sheep, to being a shepherd, from the pasture, tending and looking after the lambs. I was the one that brought you out, and I selected you, someone from the tribe of Judah, to be my leader, to be my prince, to be my ruler. I have been with you. I will make your name famous. The time I appointed judges, I will give you rest over your enemies. You see, it's perfect to sit at the start to see that God is sovereign over this. You see, David intended to do his own thing and to build something for God, but God said, wait. What we find in the prophecies and God's plan for the Messiah, we see that God is sovereign over all these things. That God's plan is different than our plan. His intention is different than our intention. And so we see that God is sovereign over this. And God said, I'm going to bring something even greater than what you intend. Even greater. And this is the promise that God will give. This is the promise. He said, I will give one of your descendants, and I will secure his royal throne forever. I will raise an offspring. I will establish his kingdom, and I will establish his throne and kingdom forever. See, the promise was to raise up an offspring, someone from him that will establish this throne and kingdom forever. That the Lord God will be his father, and the Lord, and he will be his son. And the promise is that the favor will not be taken from him. That there be continual favor. Isaiah picks up on this same very promise. Isaiah 9:7 says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, will do this. See, the promise here, this prophetic promise that God, that the Messiah, will come through the line of David. It says that your house and your kingdom will continue before me for all time, and your throne will be secure forever. You see, when God delivers this promise to David, he wasn't talking about the physical throne that David had here. He wasn't talking about this physical throne and this palace. You know, we have hindsight in our favor when we look at these promises. You say, we see that this kingdom didn't last. You cannot go to Israel today and find a king who sits on the throne from the line of David. This physical kingdom, this majestic throne that David would have had, does not last. And so God was speaking about something different. God was speaking about a throne that was different. You see, the promise, when we look at different versions, says, and your house and your kingdom shall be made forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. The house and the kingdom will endure before, and your throne will be established forever. It's clear. But as you look at Psalm 89, it reveals and opens their eyes more. Verse 3 and 4 says, you have said, and I have made a covenant. I have sworn to David my servant that I will establish your offspring forever, and your throne will be built through all generations. Verse 28 says, I will establish his offspring forever, and his throne as in the days of heavens. 35 to 36 says, once for all I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie to David. His offspring shall endure forever, his throne as the sun before me. You see, the promise here and the prophetic promise is a different sort of throne. One who would sit on this throne would actually be different. It's more of a heavenly throne, an authority, a Messiah that would come. It's this real eternal throne that comes. That's what he's establishing. The promise isn't that he would keep the nation of Israel and he would keep them forever. That promise of the nation of kings was conditional to the kings. It was conditional to their obedience. But the promise of the Messiah through the line of David was not conditional of what we did. It was not conditional that God was going to bring this no matter what we did, no matter what Israelites did, no matter how much we stuffed up, no matter how much we disobeyed, God was going to bring about this. This was his loving kindness. It was part of his character. Because God knew, and God does know, that he's going to judge the world for all that we do. So God was going to bring out, no matter what, through his loving kindness, a Savior. And that Savior was going to sit on a throne, not an earthly throne, but a messianic throne. A throne of salvation. Jeremiah 23 says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And the name by which he will be called is the Lord is our righteous. This is the messianic throne. This is what we talk about of Christmas. This is a Christmas that has been foretold for all time, that Jesus would come, that Jesus would come and redeem us and save us. So as we look at the various thrones, as we look at the various promises, we can look as God's people, as people of this earth, towards a messianic throne, a promise that was fulfilled 2,000 years ago through the birth of Jesus. And this throne still continues. God's heavenly and eternal throne is in heaven. Jesus was given the title of Lord of heaven and earth. He sits on this throne. And he offers us a chance to be part of his kingdom, to be part of his family. That is the amazing thing about Christmas, is that God, through his loving kindness, that Jesus, through his loving kindness, offers us a part of his kingdom. The kingdom of God, the kingdom that is eternal, is something we can be a part of, is something we get to be a part of. So don't miss the opportunity, especially this Christmas. Do not miss the opportunity to be a part of this kingdom, to make a decision to say, I would like to follow Jesus. I would like to learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's a simple decision in which you can make to be part of that kingdom and then to live with him forever under his authority through his grace and mercy upon the cross. Do not miss it. So we see that God foretold 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus, God knew his plan and he foretold it through the line of David. Let me pray. Oh Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this promise that we can stand on. Lord, the prophetic promise of that you came through the line of David. Lord, we sit out here as your people, those who have made a decision and those who haven't made a decision to follow you. Lord, we ask that you would draw us closer to you. Help us to understand the full grace and mercy so that we do not have to sit under judgment. But through your loving kindness, we can be saved and redeemed through you. Lord, this Christmas, we pray that you would guide us. Lord, lead us, open our eyes to show us this loving kindness. Amen.